Welcome back to the Charles Little Podcast. I'm here, Mike Lofton, with Charles Little. I don't have a lot to say about the finals because everything is going as I hoped things would go. But this, we know the series isn't over. We've seen this before. However, Charles has many a thoughts. What's up, man? Welcome back. Tell the people what's going on, man.
Where you at? I'm good, man. I'm sitting here. I'm still processing what's going on with the finals, man. It's compelling, you know. Every time somebody gets hurt, somebody comes up banged up, it changes the whole dynamic of things. Every game seems to have its own life to it, its own storylines behind it. So, I mean, it's interesting, you know. My pick of Warriors in five is gone up in smoke. So I'm just processing that now. Definitely looks like it's going to be a 6-7 game series, in my opinion.
Four, five.
No. There will be no gentleman sweep of the defending champs. I just can't believe that. I don't know why I'm holding out hope, but I still think that the Warriors are going to find a way to make this work. I found myself last night even being a homer, like, man, fuck Canada. Like, I don't know. I don't want to see the Raptors win just off that, even though I was one of the few people who said the Raptors would make it to the finals, you know, months ago. But, like, I don't know why. Like, the fact that just, I don't know. Drake and Canada having such satisfaction over us. As we get closer to it, it just kind of seems like, I'm like, do I really want that to happen? So, it's been compelling so far. Some guys, you know, in game three, just, you know, utterly disappointed me. I was really impressed by the effort that Draymond and especially Steph had. But, you know, the role players just shit the bed. Just horrible. Jordan Bell was horrible. Swedish Larry, Jonas Jerebko was terrible. Sean Livingston, terrible. McKinney, terrible. Quinn Cook, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
Hold up. We're going to get into some specific folks. You on one right now, and I love it. And the people are actually getting true Charles right now, storming out the locker room. You didn't have beats on back then, but this is where you're at, probably talking to yourself. Mad as hell after some stuff like that. How are you? Let me just take that piece by piece. How are you hating on Quinn Cook after he? If it wasn't for Quinn Cook, y'all would. I'm not even gonna say y'all. The Warriors would have zero wins this series.
He had three threes. Man had 9 points.
Timeliness, but it's not making it seem like he
saved the world. But
oh my gosh,
he really frustrated. Like last night, there were a couple plays. Every time they seemed to get the lead, you know, under 10 to that 8-9 point, that, you know, guys didn't, you know, it came time to make a play and, you know, Quinn got his shot blocked two times in a row. There were so many, I don't know if you saw this, there were so many missed layups last night in game three. Guys aren't using the backboard. Guys just like shooting finger rolls and all stuff. Like, you just, like our coach always told us, man, backboard or dunk. And like, you know, the one that Danny Green chased him down on. Like, when you got a guy, anytime I got guys like that chasing me, the thing I'm trying to do is it's a race to the backboard, because if I get the ball up on the backboard before they get to it, it's a goaltend. So why are you even, like, you know, why are you even laying it in on a finger roll in position for it to get smacked? He came down the next possession with Serge Ibaka on him and did the same thing. Like, use the rim, use the backboard, and like, that's what being a small guy and having a big guy trailing you is for. But like, if you finger roll it up there like that, like, you're putting it up there, that's essentially throwing a lob to the rim. Like I'm going to go get that. That's easy money for a guy like Serge Ibaka to go get. And if Danny Green can chase you down and time your shot, then, like, you're not doing enough. I don't know if Quinn Cook can dunk, but, like, that one that Danny Green blocked, that would have been the time to dunk, to get your steps right and try to dunk that one. Or like I said, at least put it on the backboard, so if they had gotten to it, it would have been a goaltend. Like, he, you know, and I know, like, I'm not saying it was a lack of effort or anything from him, because I know he's trying, you know, but – sometimes he's one of those guys that gets caught. They like last night, they get so caught up in trying to get Steph the ball that they're not even looking for their own shot sometimes. And then when they do shoot, it's like just the last choice for them to make to shoot the ball. So I just, you know, even though Quinn, of all the role players that, you know, I'm a little disappointed in after game three, Quinn's the least of them. Jordan Bell didn't do anything. There was a lack of effort and he seemed kind of lost out there in the fourth quarter. Boogie's body just didn't have it. I feel like he tried, but his body just didn't have it. And you got to give credit to the Raptors. They hit a lot of threes, but they're getting open shots anytime they want. I mean, it's you know, the series has really been a matter of if they're making them or missing them, because they've been getting what they want whenever they want. And it's just been a little, like I said, it's been ebbs and flows, you know. But over the course of three games so far, the Raptors have been the better team. Like, I tip my cap to them.
Yeah, we're gonna unpack what you just said. Going into Game Three, let's just say going into Game Three, who is the best player in the West? Just ask that.
Going into Game Three, who's the best player? Is this before? Are we counting this as hurt play or?
Like, so I Steph, said, obviously. Going into Game Three,
Steph.
Okay, who is playing the best? Who would have been most valuable? You think Steph?
Probably Clay.
Okay.
Clay.
Okay.
Clay or Draymond.
Okay, and that's where I'm at. So I'm just gonna hold back on this because I think we're gonna bury them next week, and I'm excited about it. At least I'm really for it. I'm predicting it. It's either in seven. I really want to say it's gonna be in five. I just don't have the gully to do that. But
I don't think if this series goes seven, I can't see the Warriors losing in seven. I can't see them losing the game seven, because I feel like even though Kevin Durant hasn't played so far, he will drag himself on the court for game seven.
I'll tell you what he's not going to do. He's not going to play this series.
He'll play game seven.
They're milking this, and he don't need to play.
I don't think he needs to play, but I feel like if it was game seven, he would at least be on the bench and be like a seventh, eighth man for him. He can give him more on one leg than fucking Alphonso McKinney can.
Yeah, it's fine if we wanted to go some Willis Reed stuff, but it's going to be in the Air Canada Center. But I don't even think we're going to get there, so I'm not even tripping. That's your only hope that it goes seven, because you need Clay and them to win. They aren't winning three in a row.
Nah, I don't see that.
Golden State's not winning three.
I'm revising Golden State in seven.
We'll let you have that. It's your podcast. You can do the hell you want.
It's got to be that.
I think Draymond, player in the series. And just stay with me for a second. Why did Kerr want to speed the game up?
I mean, I honestly think they just don't think they can really. Once the with the wing defenders that they have in Kawhi and Danny Green, you got Van Vliet really locked in on Steph. I feel like they don't feel like they. It's hard for Steph to shake loose in the half court. So I almost feel like they were trying to push the pace so they can get more easy buckets, because they know if they got to grind it out with the Raptors, they're going to be at a disadvantage just because of the, like I said, the three perimeter defenders they have. Then they got Gasol down there. They got Serge protecting the rim. Like, you got to get space on those guys, because if you don't, like, you know, like, same thing that happened, you know, that the Bucks ran into last round, got bogged down in that half court and they couldn't score.
That's fair, and that's because Giannis is a. He has some work to do decision-making wise. Draymond's good at decision-making. He's the catalyst for their offense. Why couldn't they just turn it into Draymond running Mark Jackson pretty much point guard, and then Steph becoming Reggie Miller and just literally running him off of every screen yesterday?
I didn't understand that. That's an option, but at the same time, I feel like...
And I say that with, like, him scoring 47 too, right, which is incredible.
I feel like Draymond, but like when Draymond's really exceptional on offense is when he's getting it off the glass or getting it off off a made bucket and really pushing the pace himself. So it's like to give, you know, to ask Draymond to slow it down of all people isn't the person. And like you said, Steph did still have 47. And so it's like, you know, maybe he can thrive in the he can thrive in a slowed down game. But, you know, as we saw, like, once, you know, in the latter stages of the game, those other guys can't score though. And if you're gonna bog it down to a half court game, like, you need guys to hit shots, and, you know, it wasn't like the Warriors weren't getting open shots either. Like, it wasn't like Jarebko wasn't open five, six times. It wasn't like Alphonso McKinney wasn't open in the corner a bunch of times. So I mean, guys gotta make shots. But I didn't have a problem with the offensive game plan. I mean, if Boogie would have if his body would have caught up to what his mind was trying to do, maybe there would have been a different case. But like I said, the Raptors did their thing, and they just, like, they're kind of methodical about it, about the way they go about their business. They've kind of taken on Kawhi's personality, and they're just like the Walking Dead. They're just going to walk you down. They're in their White Walkers mode. They're going to walk you down and just keep pumping you. They're going to keep running that pick and roll. They're going to keep putting Danny Green in that corner so you can't help. And it's just like time and time again, I'm you know, Danny Green's just sitting wide open in the corner, and they're rotating slow. Boogie is so slow rotating on those ball screens. Oh man! And then he gets caught in no man's land, and because he's hurt, he can't. You know, he usually goes towards the rim, leaving that shooter open, and like they're just wide open shots. And, you know, Danny Green is a finals assassin. You can't leave him open in the finals. You know what he's gonna do.
Hey, the game plan clearly was about being fast paced, try to get Steph as many easy shots as possible. But they didn't have the numbers. They didn't have the guys. Here you are calling out McKinney, who's been serviceable. Well, he was serviceable against Portland Trailblazers, who won 53 games.
It's because he was guarding Rodney Hood.
Fair, stop. That's not why. That's not why. And they made it to the Western Conference Finals. And we're not bringing him back up. And you're ridiculous for that, by the way. And they were also, you know what? They were also, Portland had also had leads of 16, 17, and 16 in the last three games and somehow lost them. And we have reasons of why that is, because they need a wing scorer, another creator, and it's very tough to be a jump shooting team and be able to win games when it counts in terms of getting buckets. And they also made Draymond look, he was Magic Johnson reincarnate, even though Draymond's having a great series, but he ain't the Draymond from Portland. And that's because of them boys in Toronto. Golden State, forget their offense. I was just wondering why they didn't slow the game down enough so they could play better defense. Why would you give another team more possessions when you guys cannot defend? Their best two defenders are out. And they put Boogie out there who can't, Boogie right now can't guard the chair I'm sitting on in my office.
I
I'm
almost feel
nervous
like,
Boogie could be washed, bro.
nah. I mean, the man's had two leg injuries. I got to give him some time. Like, I feel like next year might be a better barometer of what he, what he's really, how he really is health wise.
An OG told me
But
once you
yeah,
cross them lines, you get evaluated just like everybody else. There's no excuses. He was talking all
no
that
excuse.
talk,
Oh man,
talking all
he's
that.
making,
He was talking
he's
all
a
that talk
bum.
after game two. He was
He
talking all
looked
that talk
washed
after game
yesterday.
two.
He looked washed yesterday. When I think of washed, I mean like washed beyond the point of the point of return. So
We,
that's
you and
kind
I
of
were
what I think.
nervous
Like,
about it. We were nervous that this Kyle Lowry washed last series. We were nervous. The dude is clearly better on the road. Not to, we'll talk about the Raptors seeing as how they actually are in the series. And from you think it's all Golden State
here's
playing,
a
right?
quick Kyle Lowry thought. Does you think Kyle Lowry in the back of his mind notices that Fred VanVleet's taking his spot?
Let's table the Raptors for a moment,
I'm just,
'cause
okay.
you. Oh my God, you right now. I didn't realize that you had so many. You haven't had a positive thought yet today. Not one, but that's okay. That's fine. I would not have any positive thoughts too if my squad, who I picked in five, can't even win in five out mathematically. Like, it would be impossible for them to win in five. However, so I mean, let's go back to the Golden State. I just don't understand. Like, here's what I think is happening. I think their defense has been very bad the whole series. They had an 18-0 run in the second quarter, and outside of that little stanza, they weren't. Toronto was stopping themselves. They weren't stopping Toronto. And if we're going to keep it 100, you and I actually agree. Without Durant, I think the Bucks would be going for a sweep on Friday. Matchups make fights. Matchups make styles. Styles make fights. We know this. I'm telling, like, Milwaukee would have absolutely won the first two games. Then walk with no Durant
Yeah, because
and the
Brook Lopez would
Boogie.
have been bombing with Boogie guarding him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And putting him in a pick and pop, it would have been trouble. And Mark is fine. He's okay at it. But Brook is actually more mobile than Mark.
Yeah.
It would have
Nah,
been problem.
that would have been a bad matchup too. Yeah, you are right. Especially considering injuries. I mean, considering injuries, the Sixers, any of those three teams probably would have beat the Warriors. Would probably be giving the Warriors hell right now.
Giving them trouble, at least. But I think Bucks would be going for a sweep Friday, because then I thought about who's Klay gonna guard? Giannis? Or Draymond guarding Giannis? Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you Draymond. I mean, I don't, not to say, like, I don't think anybody can just bust Draymond's ass. I think Draymond can is gonna, I respect him enough as a defender and as a
Sure.
dog to, or like, I ain't gonna say, like, somebody might get the better of him, but I'm not gonna say Giannis just gonna sit here and do what he wants to Draymond. Like, I can't, no.
Kyle Lowry is chasing around Steph. He just hit him for 47. That was not going to happen with Malcolm Brogdon and Eric Bledsoe. Them boys are built for D. Middleton on Klay, let's call it Klay has the upper hand there. Iguodala, like, they would have been trouble. Listen, the Bucks would, they'd be going for the sweep Friday. And Toronto, if we're keeping it 100, Golden State's defense has been so poor. Toronto played themselves for, unfortunately, about a 4 or 5 minute stanza during that 18-0 run. And then we got Steph Curry and Quint Cook chest bumping each other in front of Drake. Did you see our, by the way, can we adjust Drake pretending like he's Birdie from above the rim? The memes on this was hilarious, dog. I loved them. Did
I
you
mean,
see this?
he's comedy. Like, even the shot he had at Klay. Even though, like, I'm like, props to you, Klay. But that's a whole, if you've ever seen the video from where that picture came from, shouts to you, Klay. But I just love to stay golden. Like, that was my favorite part of it. Stay golden. Have a good night. Like, man, Drake is all time trolling right now, and he'll still end up, like, even after game one, wouldn't have dinner with Draymond. So I mean, he's definitely playing both sides of the fence. But that's what happens when you're a superstar like Drake.
So he's out here doing his thing, loving the post game. He goes, How you not talking now, Aubrey? Joe bum ass. Clay is hilarious, but anyways,
With your bum
but Joe
ass.
bum ass. And then Drake today. The meme apparently right now is about Clay hitting threes on and off the court. Aubrey posted that picture on him on IG. So their little banner's hilarious because all them dudes are in making money together anyway. So
Man, Clay's living good. Clay's living good.
Clay's living super
Clay
good.
lives a good life on the low during the off seasons.
Oh, well, yeah, man. Like Chicken Nation, y'all standing up for each other anyway. So
Hey.
that's how it be. Just the, I mean, y'all are easier to take home. Doesn't matter what you nationality, UN, Caucasian, just anything, man. Y'all are easier to take home and have the conversations.
Hey
So.
man, Aubrey made it easier for all of us.
The WTS never was the safe because all time involved. It's all good. And speaking of which, now there's fireworks. Oh, love the transition there. So now there's fireworks going on in Air Canada Center. How cool is the Jurassic Park, by the way? Can we just talk about that? How come every like any big city, if you're in New York, I mean, granted, you can't do it really in MSG because and with that, but. If you were an NBA city, like a true NBA city, like Seattle, when y'all get a team, you better have something to that. I think that's such a cool scene. I think it's so cool.
Well, they say the Warriors on their new stadium, they're building an area like that as well. I don't know if, for the people that start soccer pod and know soccer like us, this is a common thing that happens in soccer.
Yes.
Except for they do this in the town square,
Yes.
usually in the middle of town, and have 100,000 people out there. I mean, given the fact that weed is legal in Canada, I would say Jurassic Park's probably a lovely place to be. To watch the game and enjoy yourself in the festivities. So I mean that's it's definitely a vibe out there. It's crazy the atmosphere that they've built over the years, especially for a team that before this year was just a middle of the pack with a couple of good seasons here and there. So I mean they got to keep it going. We'll see if they lose Kawhi, if they keep that same energy, but we'll see.
Hey, and that's all right. That's okay. These are good things. But at the end of the day, they ain't got to go through that. Main, like we said, the East opened up as soon as 2-3 decided that he was going to Brentwood and living his gonna be the thing that OJ couldn't become because of what he was involved. LeBron's gonna be one of the best movie stars ever. Like he's gonna be one of the greatest basketball players of all time. People are just gonna be like gonna be grabbing. He does things the right way. Then his son is actually gonna be a better basketball player than him from a jump stop, just if he gets his athleticism. Because he already got a better handle and already got a better jump shot than his daddy
He's
ever
got to
did
get
at that age.
size.
That's
He's
all
got to
it
get his
is.
dad's size.
I think that's the thing. I think little Bryce is going to actually become maybe having like because he's on the bigger side right now, but he'll start thin out. But Bronny's handle, like Bronny could be like what Penny was that we
Yeah.
never got to see. Like I
But I
see
mean,
that coming.
what
Like I've
is,
seen him in person. He's crazy. He's
I mean,
crazy.
Bronny's, but Bronny's only 6 foot right now. So like I said, we got to see.
As a freshman,
Yeah, I
not
mean,
even
like,
he's
but
an
I
eighth
mean,
grader.
I think he'll be about six. If he ends up even like 6'4", he'll probably end up being a pretty good guard because he's the way he plays. We're not gonna delve too much into the eighth
Yes.
grader's hoop style, but he got a little Dame in him.
Oh yeah, herky jerky, and then this hezzy. Absolutely, absolutely. I could see that,
Like,
but.
he definitely knows what he's doing out there.
Yeah, 100%. His IQ is he uses both hands, all of that. My point is that Bron, it opened it up, and it's interesting because Kellerman talks about this all the time. The race for the best player in the world began as soon as the playoffs started, and 2-3 was in LA chilling, talking about Taco Tuesday. So Kawhi coming for it. Steph, if he had 47 with a win and taking over game three, there was a conversation I guarantee today talking about Steph being a top 10 player of all time and being the best and overtaking. And he probably already has. Actually, just call it he's it's not like Isaiah was a lockdown defender and they weren't. I mean, he had the bad boys around him. He had Dumars, John Sally, Dennis Rodman, who were the three best defenders on that team. And then Laimbeer was you always got to have a goon. So.
You just gonna disrespect the microwave like that?
Vinny, but he microwave because he could heat up, because he could score.
That's all I'm just saying. Just make sure we note that they had a dude on the team whose nickname is the microwave.
Yeah, they were 10 deep. They had them dude with had a big. My man's nickname was Buddha Edwards, James Buddha Edwards. Those dudes are just crazy, unbelievable characters. They should have won three straight, except for their little situation that they had when Isaiah threw.
And
But.
Daddy Rich, and they had Daddy Rich as the coach, man. It was out there.
Yeah, you're right. So. My point is that like so Isaiah the battle for best little guard in the game ever is Isaiah and Steph right now because the championships matter. Chris Paul can't even be in this conversation. Alert, there are levels to, as we like to say. So we I don't want to even hear about him. So that's what I think Steph was going for. And now Kawhi on a bum leg right now is still giving you 39 and distributing. He not a system player, and I can see why he wanted to leave. He's doing what he's doing and showing us now he is 2 games away from taking not only the belt as the best player in the world, but dethroning a dynasty, because that's what's at stake right now too. You can't be in a conversation with the Bulls if you don't three-peat, or with the Celtics too, man. There are so many storylines that are about to happen these next 4 games of basketball, if we're gonna have them, if we'll be so blessed to have them. And then also, you think Durant's coming back, right?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, I do think he's coming back. If he doesn't come back and they lose this series, I still think Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. Like when I last saw him, he was playing at the highest level of any player that I had seen. You know, I'm not one of those like one of these prisoner of the moment people. Like 4 to 5 weeks ago, Kevin Durant was the best player in the world. I didn't change my opinion of that just because he got hurt. Like I don't think it's not fair. You know, one way or the other, it depends on what you're grading it on. But when he's healthy, Kevin Durant's better than Kawhi to me, and just because he got,
Charles.
that's just me. I'm allowed to have my thought. And
Sure.
I know the one time that Kevin Durant played in Toronto, he had 51 points on Kawhi. So
And
I'm not,
lost.
he's the, hey, it's team sport. I'm just saying. But like when people want to get into the nitpicking of that, and I'm not one of these people that changes my opinion of who the best player of the world is from day to day. You know, I think I look at all aspects of the game, and like I said, like I think if it comes down to it, and they were both healthy, there's a better chance of Kevin Durant stopping Kawhi than Kawhi stopping Kevin Durant. So the name of the game is buckets. Either who's getting them and who's stopping the other person from getting them.
Charles, what's the best ability?
Availability.
And who's
Oh
not
yeah,
available right now?
I prefaced that whole statement by saying that. Like I said, I'm not going to say that. If you're saying that they won because they only won the series because one person was hurt. So I can't say that Kawhi is the best person in the league because he won the championship when the only person that would challenge him for that didn't play. Like I got to take that into account. I'm not one of the like I'm not you can I am not going to be pinned into a corner and not act like Kevin Durant hasn't played in 2 series. Like that matters.
Who's the best all-around big in the world?
The best all-around big?
Yes.
Anthony Davis.
100%. You know why right now that we can't say that he's the best right now best player in the world? Because he took himself out of being available
That's not
for his
injury though.
teammates,
He
for his
that
teammates, which
that
is why they
was,
can't say he's the best player in the world
but
right now.
those were his choices though. Like he chose to put himself in that position. That's why I would hold that against him. Kevin Durant just got hurt, and that's what happens. You know, it happens in basketball. It happens in sports. But like the situation that Anthony Davis put himself in, he took himself out of the conversation with that. You know, and I'm the one of the I would say I'm buying. I own all the Anthony Davis stock. I'm the one of the biggest Anthony Davis fans there is. I believe he is the best player in the world when everybody's at their peak, and he'd be my first pick to start a franchise and all that good stuff. But he did that to himself, so I'm not gonna act like he's all above reproach in the situation. But Kevin Durant got hurt. I can't get mad at somebody for being hurt.
Durant took the belt from Bron when he beat the pull-up three game three in Cleveland, both of them. He's the reigning Finals MVP two times over. And we can see why Draymond went in the car and cried and called, because there's still something missing with them. And honestly, so I was sharing this in a text message, and let me word by word make sure that I think that okay. I don't think the State War is all it's made out to be. And people are like, oh, I feel bad for the Warriors. Don't be feeling bad. Let me tell you why. 2015, no Love, no Kyrie in the finals. And the Cavs were up 2-1 with Matthew Dellavedova being their second best player. Before even all that happens, the Clippers and their injuries, when they were going to the Rockets and everybody knew the Clippers Warriors was probably one of the best rivalries in basketball at that time. But then Harden and them had that little comeback in LA and it changed everything. 2016, they were down 3-1 to OKC. Durant and Russell just didn't know how to close them out. And Klay became an alien. They lost, cried, and called Durant after Bron came back after 3-1. Even though everybody talks about, well, Draymond was there for game five, it would have been a wrap. Well, you know what? Make yourself available and don't be a dumbass, Draymond Green, because like you do some. 2017, they were down 23 to the Spurs in game one of the Western Conference Finals before Kawhi got Jalen Rose by Zaza Chibić shot. And then in 2018, the CP3 hammy after being down 3-2. 19, chickens are coming home to roost. Raptors are winning their series, bro. And I look at the Warriors dynasty much different. Injuries are part of the game, but they have already had their good fortunes come. I'm telling you, man, it's all right. It's all right. Everybody can be cool with it.
It's cool. I wouldn't say their dynasty is coming to an end. I would be interested to see how next season goes, because I mean, even if KD leaves, and I mean, as long as if they go back to normal and they add bolster that bench and replace Boogie and KD with somebody else, I mean, I still think they're going to be a 1 or 2 seed next year. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to say their dynasty is coming to an end. I mean, they lost before and came back and won like champs. So, you know, I'd be interested to see how it goes in the big, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
This all changes if they are the ones raising the trophy and Kevin Durant's back. Then they're a three-peat, and also with a 73 win in there in between, they just couldn't get it done. They may have a better claim to it to the Bulls because of four. They've been to five. I think it's 5 straight finals, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So 5th straight finals.
Yeah. I mean, they have no claim against the Bulls because the Bulls have Michael Jordan, and that's the end of your claim.
Touche.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's like our Jordan discussions will never be long on this show because they don't need to be.
No, we've summarized that for folks before, but maybe one day we will give a full education where we will go through, if we need to, the PER and just everything with Michael Jordan. But today's not that day.
Michael However, Jeffrey Jordan, born in a manger in Brooklyn. We won't get into that.
We will. That'll be nice to cover that, because we will have to. I think at this finals we're gonna have to probably come up with a new all time top 10. As well, and that's not counting the centers.
We'll do a non-center top 10.
Yeah. What do you like about the Raptors right now?
I like the pace that they're playing with. They're never in a rush, and I think, like I said, that has to do with Kawhi never being in a rush. They're getting open shots. Like Danny Green, I don't think any of those threes he hit yesterday was contested, except for that one he chucked up, you know, right at the end of the clock. Van Leap's playing his ass off on both ends. And I mean, if Kyle Lowry's going to hit shots like that and hit threes and, you know, step back threes and sidestep threes and all these other ones, like, they're a hard ass team to beat. You know, even though Spicy P didn't play that well, Serge isn't, you know, Serge had a couple good blocks and he had 6 blocks yesterday. I mean, shit. So he's doing his job on the defensive end. He's not giving as much on offense. And Gasol's being the anchor. I mean, they got, like, they have so many. If you look at their team, the guys that they have that have made all defensive teams is, you know, incredible. So, I mean, they're just playing great team basketball and taking advantage of, you know, the players that are out for the Warriors. I think that's one of the key things they've been doing is, you know, even though they got to play against who they got to play against, it's a lot different. You know, you can take advantage of McKinney and Swedish Larry, obviously a lot different than you can Kevin Durant and Clay. So, I mean, you know, taking the hand that they've been dealt and dealing with it as best they can and, you know, busting their ass. Like, you know, just because they're down, you know, show them no mercy. So, I mean, if you know, as much as I did pick the Warriors to win this series, if I'm the Raptors, you know, I got to obviously be feeling good and, you know, try to get this game 4 and really put the pressure on the Warriors and get them the fuck out of here, you know, as fast as possible. Because, you know, the one thing, you know, in this series is that is, you know, is much above anything is the Warriors are getting healthier by the day. And so the longer this goes, you know, the longer the healthier Clay is going to get, even though he's going to play. He's obviously going to play in game 4, but the healthier he's going to get. And, you know, that gets Kevin Durant closer to playing. That gets Looney closer back to playing. So if I'm the Raptors, I'm trying to get this over as quickly as possible. And you know, them winning game 3 will be, I don't think it'll be a full nail in the coffin, but it'll go a long ass way.
Kyle Lowry, why the hell does he just play better on the road? Seriously, is it a mental thing? Like, you and I have had discussion about mental health before, and him and DeMar, which is why it's interesting because they still talk every day. That is what that is. That's fine. But why does he feel just so much more comfortable on the road? I'm so peculiar to me. Like, put yourself in his shoes. Like, what is it?
I think that's one of those. I'm not a psychologist, but I think that's one of those things too. Like, you're on the road. Like, you're just focused on the game. You don't have your kids there. You don't got your wife there. Like, you know, to distract you. You know, you're not at the house. You know, you got a game. You know, when they're back in Toronto, he still got to wake up in the morning, still might be trying to take his kids to school or something, you know, or trying to, you know, try to be as normal as possible or whatever. But when you're on the road, you're just hunkered in, locked in, and focused on playing the game. I think that's why, you know, I think many people play better on the road. It's just, like I said, you're just away from the distractions. The only people that are really with you, you know, that you're really interacting with and with are the, you know, 15 guys that are traveling with you. And, yeah, it's kind of a bunker mentality at that point.
Is Nick Nurse out coaching Steve Kerr this series?
No, not at all. You know, people want to give him credit for that boxing one. They did. They still like lost the game. But you know, Steve is doing all he can. Like he's got. I mean, at the end of the day, he can only do so much. You know, with what he has, their whole team is built on those four guys, the four guys in Iguodala to all be healthy and executing. And when I, you know, when we were talking about, you know, Jordan Bell playing like shit and Jarebko playing like trash yesterday, I think it's because, you know, during the regular season, especially let's take a guy like Jordan Bell, for example, this is his third year. And the mental lapses that he has in concentration and effort out there for a guy that's been on a championship team for 3 years is just unacceptable. But I think that happens to him because you can be complacent when you have Clay and Steph and KD and all those guys in front of you. You're never put in a position to where you have to like up your game or up your mental, you know, capacity or be more engaged in the game, because you always have other people that can do this for you and can take the weight off your shoulders. So you're never counted on. You're never put in this position where you need to, you know, dig in and grind and do these things that you have to do. And so, like, yet you see what happened in game three is that now we need you to step up. Now we need you to do these things, and you're not there to do it. And KD's not behind you to cover your ass, and Clay's not behind you to cover you up. And when you do this, you know, things like that, you know, where you got away with these things for 2.5-3 years of always having these other people behind you to take care of you, and having David West, you know, previous years behind you to take care of these situations. Now you're out there on Front Street, and he got exposed. The success of the Warriors in some way stunted his growth, in my opinion.
Okay. That was for you not loving the Raptors, even though you should have just stuck with your boys as you picked them and just written it out. Yeah, I mean, you had some good things to say about them. I'm proud of you, Charles.
I mean, they're playing good basketball. At the end of the day, like I picked the Raptors and Warriors to play in the finals. I picked the Warriors to win. But don't get this shit twisted. I'm a Lakers fan. I don't give a fuck about either one of these teams. Let's keep it a real buck. But like, obviously, I'm a basketball fan. I want to see good basketball, good competitive basketball. That's at the end of all things. That's why it's so frustrating. And I know I'm sure you feel the same way to not see the Warriors at full strength, because I like in any situation, you know, we all know injuries play a part in sports, but you know, I want to see guys full, you know, full speed, full attack, and you know, your best versus our best. And let's see what we can do. You know, at its purest core and purest form of basketball, you know, it's my five versus your five. And let's roll out the balls and see what's up.
I like it. I like it. Put a bow on this for me. What happens tomorrow game? Actually, when people be hearing this tomorrow, starting here tomorrow, what happens game four?
I'm gonna keep it optimistic. I think the Warriors find a way. As with so many other series that we've seen previously throughout the playoffs this year, we think one thing is gonna happen. We think a team is buried. We think there's no way in hell they got a chance. And they find a way. I don't know. I honestly don't know how they're going to find a way. I mean, Steph had 47 and they still lost. Obviously, getting Clay back, I think, will make the difference. I think he's going to come back with vengeance. Hopefully, he doesn't tweak his hamstring. But just, I mean, even he's obviously a way better defender than what they had out there yesterday in game three. So, I mean, he'll add something there. And, you know, his hand isn't broken, so he's still going to be able to make open shots. And, like, you know, for all of what happened in game three, it wasn't like the Warriors didn't get open shots. It wasn't like Jarebko wasn't open. It wasn't like Alphonso McKinney wasn't open, like I said before. So if Clay can, you know, if those 12 open shots turns into Clay, you know, having six of those on game four, you know, that's, you know, I'll bet money on that. So I think it'll be a close game. It'll be a tough game. But I think, you know, backs against the wall, I like the effort that the Warriors put out. You know, other than, you know, those lapses by Jordan Bell and stuff, like with the main guys, Clay, Draymond, and Iggy, the effort that they gave last night was very, you know, was very admirable. I think they got the heart of a true champion, so they're going to die on their shield. And I think they'll find a way to tie up the series at 2-2 and take it back to Toronto.
Best of three for the NBA championship. And you see that once it goes to the Air Canada Center. Here's my situation. I want to see if Kevin Durant, because if he comes back, it's a wrap. Like, I know it. It'll be a wrap for sure.
Man. For all my spades players, Kevin Durant is the big joker.
100%. Hey, love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And for those people who, you know, they aren't so hip on spades, I know you play some euchre in your day, too. Why don't you put it out there?
I have never played euchre.
Oh, man. Regional versus culture. We lived in Ohio, brother. How are you not playing spades and euchre?
The only euchre I know in Ohio is Bob Euchre.
You're ridiculous. Because Bob Euchre actually, you're ridiculous. The man was only for the Indians in Major League, but he was really the play-by-play for the Brewers, my brother. cultural versus regional. Charles just told you what it was. Let's get into some off-season discussion before we let you embarrass us before for this podcast. Go ahead, man. Lakers, really happy about Lionel Hollins, actually. Their staff is good. They have a great staff, actually.
Who's in charge though? They got a lot of chefs in the kitchen. Like they got everybody like shit. They got one coach and two interims. Like it feels
Genie's
like.
still writing checks.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have no problem with that staff. I feel like
Ooh.
if anything, they're at least gonna have like some adults in the room. Like there ain't gonna be too much like some of that none of that nonsense that went on. I feel like LeBron will respect. I feel like he'll respect Lawrence Frank. I definitely know he'll respect Jay Kidd because they were teammates. And I know above all, everybody in that damn on that team is gonna respect Lionel Hollins. So I think that's definitely it's definitely good for the direction. I'll be interested to see obviously how free agency goes now that the Pelicans have opened up the phone lines for AD. But I mean, it's the finals time. I really don't want to talk about the Lakers. I'm tired of like they need to do something before we speak on them during
They
this time of
hired
year.
Lionel Hollins,
So.
brother, a man who actually had a 2-1 lead on the Warriors himself, and they actually could. Oh, speaking of Marc Gasol was on him too. Funny how that is. But now they got a closer. They got a squad. Yeah, man, you need to see this for what it is. The Lakers got better by bringing Lionel Hollins. I like their three playoff-tested coaches who've actually won a series, which we couldn't say with Luke Walton. Just hate to say what it is. Ooh, man, that's another thing. I'm loving that we're gonna have some side stuff with Luke Walton versus the Lakers in the same division with the Kings, the up and coming Kings. Don't know whether it was Lonzo and De'Aaron Fox is gonna get made together. I would love to see Light Skin Nation carry on with Lonzo and Jason Kidd together. Your boys get paired
I'm
up.
coming with the super hot take. De'Aaron Fox is making the All-Star team next year.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna throw that. Yeah, throw that to the coldest take of the year, by the way.
Luka is going to take him to another level. Dave Joerger couldn't help him.
Charles, what's whose spot is he gonna?
I don't know. Somebody will get hurt. Somebody
Russell?
always gets hurt. Shit. Who? I would have to look at the All-Star team. Chris Paul didn't make the All-Star team. Obviously, he was hurt. Somebody. Somebody. I like De'Aaron. De'Aaron and Luka both making the All-Star team next year. It's a new day in the NBA. Young Guns are here.
6th, 2019, 6:32 p.m. We'll make sure we keep that so Charles can hear himself. We'll make sure we take that little snippet out of when De'Aaron Fox may be lucky to get to the Rising Stars game again. That'd be a good spot for him. But
Wow. You've been
I
really
love De'Aaron
disrespectful.
Fox. It's just, I mean, there's Dame, there's Steph, there's Russell, and we have no idea who's going to be also in L.A. either for the Clippers or the Lakers.
I mean, if Russ shoots 12% from the 3-point line again, we might have to take his spot. So we'll
Sure,
see.
but you know what? Maybe De'Aaron Fox should be working on his threes.
Touche. Well played.
We just had the trade. Can you break it down for folks what you and I were just talking about offline? The Atlanta and the Brooklyn Nets trade.
Yeah, so the Nets traded Allen Crabbe to the Hawks for Torian Prince. Got rid of Allen Crabbe's huge ass contract and paved the way for them to either keep D'Angelo Russell's rights and sign another free agent or renounce D'Angelo Russell's rights and sign two free agents. So I mean I think that was a all in all a pretty good deal for the Nets. Gives them more flexibility. Allen Crabbe's contract was one of the worst in the NBA. So a good move by them. I don't know. I'm sure the I mean he's not a Allen Crabbe's not a horrible player. He's definitely a serviceable NBA
He's a better
player.
shooting guard
He's
than
not
him.
exactly
Better shooting
Yeah,
guard
he's
than
not
him.
worth. He's not worth his money though. Definitely not worth the money. Like I said, at the same time, they're getting rid of that cap space, and they got Torian Prince back, and Torian Prince is a good rotational player that could definitely help them in the playoff series. So, guys like those are the guys that you need to make plays. I would say if Torian Prince was on the Warriors, he'd be playing over Alphonso McKinney and everybody else that played last night. So that should give you a little idea of how good of an NBA player he is.
I do believe. Did the Hawks get a pick as well from Brooklyn? What pick did they get from him?
They got the 17th pick from this year's draft.
So the Hawks have the 8th, the 10th, and the 17th pick. Who can they trade up with? Because it just feels like Cam Reddish, right? With Trae Young
Oh man.
and John Collins.
Yeah, I mean they need a wing, but I'm like even in getting Allen Crabbe they have a wing, but yeah, I mean they can package those picks. I know they have been talking to the Knicks about putting some of those picks together. Yeah, they've been talking to the Knicks about putting some of those picks together. Definitely, we got two more weeks exactly till the draft. So we will definitely going to be some wheeling and dealing between now and then. So definitely moves to be made with the from the Hawks, especially because they got multiple picks. So we'll see what they're willing to do.
Okay, fair enough. What have you been hearing about the draft? Are you getting excited about anybody? What's going on? Is New Orleans are definitely for sure.
Yeah, I mean, NBA drafts over the years have been kind of you know, usually cut and dry. There's far less intrigue to it than like the NFL draft. Obviously, there's no Daniel Jones to get picked in this draft. I guess Cam would almost be the Daniel Jones. Like if he gets picked too high, it's like what? I'm interested. You know, in some. Been looking up some foreign players. I guess Darius Garland is the great wild card of all of this. I haven't really read up to see if he's going to be working out for teams or not. But I mean, he's the great question mark because you know he's before the year you know he's projected to be a top five player. So you know it'd be interesting to see if he falls you know to a 7-8 you know 7-8 spot with one of those teams. He wouldn't be a bad fit with Trae Young, even though they both might be a little too small to play together. But that playmaking ability that they both have, I know Darius Garland's a little bit bigger of a guard. Got some Kyrie in him, and you know might be able to play off Trae Young a little bit better, but. Yeah, I would say that's my main sleeper and main unknown because of how much little film we have on Darius Garland.
We're gonna end it with a college basketball question for you, just so people can still understand your IQ of the game. Good move to move it back to the international line, the 3-point line.
Yeah, I mean for multiple reasons. One, it does help even the guys that are playing that go overseas and play. It helps them in their transition. It just helps, and I think one of the things about making basketball a more global game is there being more universal lines and universal rules. I love the FIBA rules. You know, when it comes to goaltending and stuff, it takes a while to get used to, but I wish we played with those. Not a huge fan of the trapezoid lane, but yeah, pushing the line back. You know, it was getting too easy for guys. Guys were shooting back that deep anyway, so it's not going to make that much of a difference, but it'll definitely help with the spacing on the courts and give more lane for the driving lanes. So hopefully Wisconsin won't be able to take 17 charges a game and teams will be able to spread them out a little bit more. Hopefully, you know, Juwan Howard will be able to spread Wisconsin out so they can't take charges. And maybe we won't have so many 47 to 48 Big Ten games. So I'm all for the spacing and you know, having to show your individual skill a little bit more. Like it's not a huge difference in length, but it'll make a difference in the spacing and the way the game's played for sure.
I think the spacing is gonna be more fun. Hopefully there's more scoring. Hopefully that will get some folks to be better in terms of getting their skills. That's important because the product's got so this marries up. This will be good. I mean, I'm really really happy about RJ Hampton leaving. Not going to college. No, the college coach, he don't know nobody nothing. That's all right. Even though they had to build their own teams. But it's good. We need to have folks make decisions. But if you're going to be in college and want things to go well, I want the product just to be better. We should see good basketball we want to see good basketball on players only Tuesday or Monday on TNT and then be able to go to Super Tuesday and then not be a 55-50 game by Chris Mack and BS Louisville Cardinals.
Why of all the people you could have said?
Listen, because I'm gonna make fun of people. That's why I mentioned nothing about.
He's guilty by association.
Exactly. I say nothing about that school down south. But here you go, interrupting my rant. That's all right. I appreciate
scumbags.
It.
Scumbags.
We're not even gonna address them. I saw them in the top 20 this year. I'm like, man, whoo, man. Let me get there. I'll get there in a moment. But you know where I'm at on it, brother. Better college basketball is a better product for my business and what I'm doing in my world currently. Really pumped about. Let's end it right there, man. Tell people where they can be able to find the pod, brother.
You know, we got it on all the streaming services, iTunes, Spotify, Google, all that good stuff. Make sure you're checking us out on Insta and Twitter, @CharlesLittle15. Share it, comment on it. Let us know what you think. We always try to improve and get better at it, you know, be more concise, shoot the shit, all that good stuff. You know, after basketball season ends and we get more onto the international duty on soccer and stuff, we're going to have to fill some time a couple times. It's going to be dog days of summer, so it'd be great to hear some feedback because shit's going to go off the rails. I'm just warning you now, once basketball season's over and free agency's over and we hit that area around my birthday in mid-July, I'm gonna be celebrating my birthday for the whole month. So yeah, those are gonna be some fire podcasts, and you know we definitely want to be interacting with you guys more and more. So just check us out and keep rocking with us.
There it is. Appreciate y'all rolling with us. Enjoy game four. It's going to be great. We may have a little Twitter back and forth session between us tomorrow. And thank you all for listening. Greatly appreciate it. Send them home, Charles.
I will.